Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on A New Winter. Looking back at me in the mirror was a middle-aged man. And what was worse is I knew that this was me. The real me. This is episode 52 of A New Winter. Feel that my head was somewhat clearer, that this reflection of me wasn't an apparition, it wasn't some kind of hallucination. It was as if something had been knocked loose and was now working properly. I investigated my face, my slightly leathery skin, the rough greys of an unshaven cheek, dark bags under my eyes, and my slight paunch left me with the conclusion that I must have been at least 50. Just then the phone rang downstairs. I ran downstairs and picked it up. Hello? Hello, is this the Stockwell residence? The male voice asked. Stockwell? Yes, this is Inspector Crawley. I'm dealing with the case of Michael Verdun. He's gone missing, and I've come to believe that he was actually looking for you. Why would he be looking for me? I asked. Ah, so you do know the man? No, I didn't say that. I'm just wondering why anyone would come looking for me. Well, the inspector took a deep breath. With the murder of his father and all, and with the other murders happening around here, I guess he thought that you and him might have something in common. He was waiting for a reaction. Well, I haven't seen him, sorry. It's just, the inspector continued. It's just that I find it slightly hard to believe. Sorry, I mean, you seem to be connected to everyone here in some way, shape or fashion. All what's been happening here in this town, it's all coming back to you. It's nothing to do with me. None of it. Now just leave me alone. I could feel my anger rising. Something within me stirring like a tornado that's starting to take shape. Well, how about this? Would it be okay if I came round to ask some questions? I mean, I won't be long. I could be there in about, I don't know, half hour, if that's all right with you. I paused for a moment. Clearly, this was going to be a bad idea. But what was the alternative? Buy some time? Run? I felt like I was the most refreshed I've been in a while, so I might as well just get it over with, see what all this fuss is about. Of course, I knew what had happened to Michael. My twin brother, Joseph, had killed him before Michael could kill me. But I wasn't about to admit that. In any case, events had taken a slight turn of late. The kid who saw that happen wasn't even me anymore. I mean, maybe Michael wasn't dead at all. Maybe he was still missing, and it was something that Bob or the wired man had just wanted me to see. "Sure, come down," I said to the inspector. I looked around the kitchen to make sure there was some tea and some milk. In fact, it was a fairly well-stocked kitchen. Fresh vegetables, an unopened bottle of milk. It all felt like Mum was still here. To the point where I looked around a bit, just double-checking that this place was in fact empty. I mean, if it was, who had put all this stuff here anyway? I made a fresh pot of tea, put a cosy on it, and sat and waited. It wasn't long until he turned up, which I had anticipated. I knew he'd come early, just to immediately put me off guard. I opened the door, and in front of me was a rather thin man in an ill-fitting brown suit. He looked older than what he probably was. There was a slight sparkle in his eye, but his freshly shaven face looked tired and grey. It gave him away. This was an overworked policeman who had clearly dedicated his life to the cause. And to be honest, that worried me. He smiled slightly. It was thin and weak. "Inspector Crawley," he announced, and held out his hand. I shook it firmly. "Please come in," I said. "Tea?" "Please," he said, and took a seat. He looked around the room. "Huh. Just you, is it?" Yeah. My mother, well, she died a long time ago." I thought about that for a second, and it felt so natural to say. But hadn't it been Jackie that told me that? Needs a bit of a hoover or something, you know, bit of a makeover. Looks like it's been years since anyone's done anything to it. My wife, actually, she... What would you like to know, Inspector Crawley?" I interrupted. He sniggered slightly, as if in disbelief of how rude I was. But I didn't want to chit-chat here, I wanted this to be over with. "Straight to the point, huh?" "Well, alright, I'll cut to the chase. Have you ever met a Michael Verdun? Here's a picture." And then from a folder underneath his arm, he took out a picture. And there, smiling with a glass of wine on what looked like a restaurant on the beach at night, was a slightly sunburnt, smiling Michael. I think so, maybe. I couldn't say if he lives around here or not, though. "Oh, no, he doesn't live around here. He's from London. I've actually come up from London myself. It's quite an interesting little place here, isn't it? I mean, I've only been here a short while, but seems to be a few cases of people going missing. Or even the odd murder. All here in this quiet little town. It's like the British Bermuda Triangle. Or maybe the Twilight Zone or something. Don't you think?" I smiled. "Well, I'm sorry, I can't help." "I wouldn't be so sure about that just yet. You've got a bit of history here, I see. Some deep ties. You wouldn't happen to know what Michael was up to down in London now, would you? Why he'd maybe run away and come up here to come looking for you?" "I told you I didn't. See, we've had our eye on him for a while. Bit of a dodgy white-collar crime, and then he goes missing. And we track him here. His home. He was born here, you know. Ran away to find his fortune in the big city." Crawley looked at me intently. And I nodded, unreactive. "So, now we're told that he's come here looking for you, and that you could help him out somehow. Maybe put him up in hiding. I mean, things must have got desperate for him to come back here," the inspector laughed. "Was he trying to get a rise out of me?" I sniggered along with him. "I'll play his game," I thought. I was waiting to see where all this was going. "He was dying, you know." Crawley scratched his chin, took a sip of tea. "Yeah, he's getting headaches, hallucinations, seeing sounds. I mean, can you believe that's a thing? That you see sounds, all different colours or something, isn't it? I mean, it's because of this brain tumour that he had. You know, sometimes there's just not enough money in the world that can stop the hand of death. Don't you think?" "I guess," I replied softly. He sat up straight. "So, anyway, let me get this straight. You're telling me that you haven't met Michael, this guy right here in this photo?" No, what I'm saying is that I may have, but I can't recall. Right, it's just that he booked two rooms in a hotel around here, and people were saying that he had someone matching your description staying in the other room. Were you helping him hide out, making sure the police didn't find him? Something else going on? No, why would I do that? Okay, so, a stranger did pick me up as I was walking home, and we did get a hotel. Not like that, nothing. I didn't want to come back here to my home. Crawley slowly nodded and took out a little notepad and pen. Your home, is it then? Here? Okay, well, that's good to know. It's a start, I suppose. So was it Michael then that picked you up? Maybe. Okay, this is good. See, we're going somewhere. Then what? Then nothing. After two nights, I think it was, he left and I went home. He just paid for the room and left. Huh. And, just do you remember what happened to the car? No, should I? Well, I don't know. I mean, it was found abandoned at the side of the road. Been in some kind of crash, maybe, but, well, no bodies were found. Nothing. Snow didn't really help either. Okay, I answered. Yeah, so, did anyone stay in the room with you? No, it was just me. Just you, not Jackie Fair, he said, his eyes darting up to meet mine. No, I answered. Oh shit, I thought. I answered way too quickly. How does he even know about that? Her body was left in Michael's room after Sophie had killed her. It's probably set me up as well as for revenge, but how would he know that? Okay, he said, because she went missing around this time as well, and well, she was last seen with you. Wasn't she also known, I should say, to your father-in-law? What? I don't have a father-in-law. Well, no, he said. I guess not in that way. What a strange question, I thought. What's going on here? And do you remember her in the hotel whatsoever? In your room or Michael's? And I lied. No, I haven't seen Jackie in a very, very long time. Okay, because a lot of people were saying that you were looking for her, and then you found her, and then she goes missing again. It's all very strange. Look, I said, maybe you should delve into her past a bit. She's not so innocent, you know. Oh, really? And he leaned forward. Why is that? Oh, well, she was a bit manipulative. She'd been through some shit. I mean, don't get me wrong, but she wasn't who I thought she was. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, he said, jotting notes down. Now, you do realise we do have evidence Jackie was in one of the rooms that you two were staying in. I shrugged. Well, she wasn't with me. Crawley stared at me for a moment and nodded again. Where was all this going? God, Jesus, wouldn't you just hurry up? It was as if he could tell why I was being impatient. He took another sip of tea, smiled, and then got up from the table. Well, I think that'll do for now. Here. And he handed me his card. Call me any time if you think of something. We'd really like to find him. Well, if he's not dead already. I looked at him cautiously. Was he testing me? He pointed to his head. The tumour, remember? Ah, I nodded and put the card on the table. He watched me put it down and looked back up at me and smiled again ever so slightly. Anything at all, give me a call. He then made his way out of the door and turned around to say, oh, and I'm sorry for your loss. My loss? I asked. Yeah, your family, he said, with genuine confusion. I started getting heart palpitations. I heard they were murdered on your farm. Then as he walked away, well, anyway, thank you for your time, Mr. Stockwell. I just want to say a big thank you to all my patrons for supporting the show. You yourself could become a patron if you go to patreon.com/anewinter. You can also email us at anewinterpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at anewinter. We're also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/anewinter, or alternatively, head over to anewinter.com for more information. Thank you for listening.